It's Tuesday the 6th of November and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello gents.
Hello there Paul.
Hiya.
And we're back and we've had another week off. We're really bad at this podcast malarkey at the moment, so sorry, but we will quickly, very quickly, cover the Challenge Cup weekend that we did miss. This week, we'll talk briefly about the Braehead game that nobody could see, before coming on to this weekend's 0-pointer. As ever, we'll choose our player of the week. We'll have a quick chat around the Challenge Cup draw, which took place today. And we are going to get to the burning question from Greg Hewish that we've been sitting on for ages. And the news of a little signing that the Devils made. Somewhere in amongst all of that, my timeline is completely out of kilter, and then we'll preview the upcoming games. So we'll quickly talk about Fife, which is tomorrow for us, but by the time you're listening to this, hopefully it won't have happened, but if it has, well, you can hear how bad we are at predictions in real time. before the trip to Milton Keynes Saturday, and then Belfast at home on Sunday. So quite a bit to get through. We agreed beforehand that we're going very quickly through the three games. So, Guildford came to Cardiff on Saturday. Cardiff played probably the worst game in Cardiff there's been for some time. Sean, I don't think there's any disagreement there.
Nope.
Devils lost by a couple. 6-3 in the end, 5. Who knows? I haven't even written it down. We went to Coventry then, and it was the debut of Sam Duggan, who'd signed for us. I think it was announced the Friday before the Guildford game, Sean, wasn't it? Very close.
Yeah, it was very close, yeah.
He didn't ice against Guildford, but we went up to Coventry, and Devils ran out comfortable 4-0 victors in the end with Tom Murdy getting the start and the shutout. Sam Duggan playing a regular shift on the fourth line with Matthew Myers and Craig Moore, and looked very good. Had a great breakaway chance where he sped through the defence and just clipped the post at the far end to the Devils fans. We'd started cheering it, thinking it was going in, and you know, we're gutted to hear the ping. But a good showing, and you know, we'll talk about it in a little bit more depth once we've covered all the other games. And then we went to Braehead, and nobody got to see the game, but as it was a 1-0 Devils win, I don't think anyone will mind. Ben Bams with a shutout that time, back-to-back shutouts for the Devils. And things then went defensively very wrong in league action in Cardiff when Coventry came down. Where shall we start with Coventry? Sean, it was, the first period didn't give anything away as to how that game was going to end up, I think it's fair to say.
No, obviously, you know, it didn't get off to the best of starts with a very, very lengthy delay. Coventry's goalie going down, I believe he took an elbow to the chin, went down and obviously there was a lengthy delay and I think he's recovered. About halfway through the period. And I think there was about a 12, maybe even 15 minute delay. So I think that kind of, put a bit of a dampener on the game and it lost a bit of its edge, and come the first period break, everyone was a bit like, well, that was, yeah, you know, where do we go from here? But I think a couple of people had a sneaky suspicion that it might get the Blaze a little bit more up for the game, and boy, did it.
Yeah, saying about the length of delay, I think it was 7:30 by the time the game was resuming, past 7:30, which was just about halfway through the first, so obviously, we need to see how long that was. Made for quite a long game overall. And the way the rest of the game went made it feel like a long one regardless. But the Devils got off to a good start in the period, Aaron. Bryce Reddick on a power play, converting from Longley and Hedden. But, you know, as has been the sort of theme that we talked about seemingly for a couple of years, just not holding on to that lead for very long, and Blaze get one back on the power play just over 2 minutes later, before another goal almost straight away, Aaron, just changed the complexion of the game almost totally.
Yeah, I thought we started the game well. Like Sean said, the injury to Coventry's goalkeeper didn't help, but we got that power play goal after a while and it just went completely downhill from there, I think. I think you described it best, Paul, when I spoke to you after the break, and we was just handing out tickets and invites to the slot on Bounds, and they was going glove eye every time, and evidently this will cost us the game, and it was very infuriating to watch, especially there's no way.
Mark Lewis got a game tying goal less than a minute after the Blazers go ahead, and you think normal service has been resumed. But another quick pair of goals. You're looking at the game sheet, Sean. The first two Coventry goals had 39 seconds between them, and their third and fourth goals had just, I think, 38 seconds as well between them. So, you know, less than a minute between each of the goals. And, you know, Aaron mentioned it. Devils were just coughing up prime real estate in front of Bounds.
Yeah, it was the first sort of game where I think we've been so lax defensively. Like Aaron said, and we talked about, we gave Coventry far too much time and respect. Their zone entry was, they were cutting through us just so easily. The amount of 3-on-2s we gave up, odd man rushes, were just simply not good enough for a team as good as ours. You know, give them credit. Coventry worked very, very hard. And they took full advantage of us being it's one of the worst performances I've seen from us against any team. I think, you know, we've got so much scoring prowess, and we couldn't find a way past the backup netminder. We seem to struggle against backups, and it's just one of those things where as soon as the starter goes down, you sort of think, you know, we should really be taking this, you know, at a canter. It shouldn't be any problem at all. And I don't think I don't think Headley was outstanding, but I don't think we tested him all that much. And we just gave up far, far too much defensively. And another reason why we lost that game was purely down to discipline. We took three misconduct penalties or abusive official penalties from players like, you know, your Joey Martin, Jake Morissette, who aren't known for those penalties. And we just have to keep a better lid on it. And, we weren't able to.
No, just going on to it, before Blazers' third and fourth goals, Jake Morissette had taken an abusive official, 2-minute minor. You know, personally, I struggle to think that Morissette is shouting abuse. He may very well have been, and he wears a C. So for me, I thought that was a bit harsh, but Devils killed the penalty and then get a goal back through Gleeson Fournier to make the game 4-3. You know, there's 7.5 minutes left in the period. Things are looking all right again. And then, just because we're mad, Joey Martin takes a hooking penalty, starts mouthing off almost straight away and gets an abusive official. Ben Blood shouts something from behind the ref and he gets one as well. So the Devils get 2 minutes of a 5-on-3 and then a 2-minute kill after that as well, which is not good. It's hard to argue abusive official penalties because you don't know what's being said. But Martin and Morissette, it's surprising. And, you know, Matt Rose calls one, and then less than 10 minutes later, Tom Donnell calls two on a play. And, you know, there's a Hollywood Tom nickname potentially for a reason there. But Devils killed the penalties. Got the crowd, you know, there's nothing quite like a bad refereeing decision or what the crowd perceives as a bad refereeing decision to get the crowd into it. And the crowd came up, Devils killed all, you know, the 4 minutes of the penalty. And we should have been, you know, for me there was a minute and a half left in the period. We scored the last goal. We're only one behind. We've killed a massive penalty. Mm. All the momentum's with us. And then we all go flying up the ice. And, you know, as you said, Sean, giving up numerous odd man rushes and another, you know, clear chance given to Coventry in the last minute, and Alex Forbes makes it a 5-3 game.
Yeah.
And even at that stage, you know, Aaron, for you, it was obviously a disappointing performance defensively, to say the least, from the Devils. But were you overly worried at the end of the second?
Not necessarily, no, because, like, especially if you're going off last year's team, we know, we could be play poor for two periods and we can come out in the third and dominate and take and score a good couple of goals. But I wasn't worried. I was laughing and joking, not stressed, not worried. And, you know, maybe me and the Devils overlooked Coventry and their game plan because they just shut us down so well. We couldn't get anywhere near Headley's goal. We didn't look like we was offering anything offensively. And defensively, we kept on leaving big gaps, which, you know, they didn't cost us, but it cost us to lose. We was losing the puck, and then we was having to chase, and it didn't seem like the Cardiff Devils team we've seen up until now. And my God, it was a shock, if anything.
A shock, and I'd almost use it. It was painful to watch. It was painful to watch us struggling to gain the zone, and just the chances we were offering up. No reflection on Ben Mounts, but for me, I was surprised he wasn't pulled after the fourth goal. That we'd let four goals in a 4-minute period. Mostly due to defensive lapses. But Sean, do you think, you know, sometimes in there, you put the backup in to give the defence a bit of a kick up the backside, you know, not necessarily a reflection on the goalie that was in net?
Yeah, I think you do. I don't think Bounds yet had a great game. We've talked about it. There was high glove side, maybe two or three at least, which he would want back. But he shouldn't be put in that position that amount of times. And I think, like you said, the defence would leave giving up 3-on-2s left, right, and centre, and they should have been held accountable. I think we did it a couple of years ago where. But we just absolutely hung Bouncy out to dry and took him straight out. It's hard to say because you're within reach of the game, so you don't want to throw your backup in and sort of, you know, not to say that Murdy would have cost us a game necessarily, but, you know, think that the game is gone. And I think that's the reason what we kept him in. But in terms of punishing the defence for how bad we were, yeah, I think that would have been a great move to make.
Do you know what's more annoying?
Go ahead.
Is the fact that the week before, in a nothing game, where we rested a couple of our players, we managed to win 4-0 with Murdy and Gorsby shut him out. So I would have pulled Bounds and put Murds in because Murds done so well against him the week prior. But
I think for me, the one thing that, and you know, we didn't really talk about the games, but you know, the Sunday game was a nothing game for the Devils in Coventry. We were already through. We knew Coventry were eliminated, so whatever points we got were wiped. So Murdy started. But by the same token, Coventry knew they were out. They had no chance of qualifying. So the game was as dead for them as it was for us.
I wasn't there, I'm just going off. I see 4-0 with some of your biggest players missing, and you still managed to turn them over. I honestly, Saturday, I was expecting a Devils win by 5+. Do you know, that's what I was expecting, and the game was entertaining, but not the result that we wanted.
Definitely not. You know, quickly through the third long leg, got one back again to make it a one-goal game. And again, with a lot of time on the clock.
What a goal as well.
Oh, beautifully worked. Bryce Reddick's through leg pass, my head into long leg, and, you know, just a beautiful goal. Right from the back as well, even before the play from Reddick. But, 14 minutes left. Devils only a goal down at home against Coventry. And still, we're giving up. And the goals have got a little bit muddled in my mind, but I'm pretty sure they're sixth again. Devils just committed too far, too many forward, and gave up a breakaway with 11 minutes left. Why are you committing that many at that time? It felt like desperation at a time where desperation wasn't needed. And in terms of desperation, I don't think after Coventry's fourth goal halfway through the second, I don't think our fourth line got back on the ice. And I find that utterly baffling. Coventry was short benched. You know, they're a short bench team. They're not playing four lines. They're missing Venus. Not sure if there's anyone else out, but you know, you could see in the anthems they didn't have that many skaters. And you know, another 20 minutes of playing your fourth line. You know, in the last 10 minutes, then if you want to shorten the bench, you can go for it. But you know, the game was never, for me, so out of reach that we had to shorten the bench, especially as early as we did. I was baffled by the decision.
With a big game the next day as well.
Yeah, no one were going to Nottingham. And, you know, the last couple of minutes, you pull bands, you're running effectively two lines for 2 or 3 minutes of the game because you've obviously got at least four attackers on each line. But yeah, you can offset that by icing them a bit less through the second. But yeah, it's, you know, disappointing. You know, we were
full credit to Coventry.
Full credit. They came in and, you know, Coventry know how to play against us under Danny Stewart. They've not picked up a huge number of wins against us, I don't think, in the league, but it's very rare these days that we're, in the last 2 years, that we've blown them away. The games have been tight. They've, you know, made them one goal games, overtime games, and you know, grab points here and there, and you know, were well worth their victory. And I mentioned the refereeing decisions. For me, the refereeing decisions did cost us the game, but not the decisions themselves. It was the way we reacted to them, and you know, we let them get under our skin. A very, very disappointing day at the office, I think, all around. So we went to Nottingham on Sunday, and if you've had a bad game, what better place to go than the NFC, because we've got such a good record there. Aaron, Nottingham, it's always a tough place to go. And Devils just seem to be caught in a very sort of similar trap of just being a bit defensively suspect all night.
Yeah, this is one of the most confident I've ever been going into Nottingham. You know, I had one of my lucky jerseys on that I've never lost in. Now I've lost in it again, twice in the weekend. That is, and I generally expect us to come out flying and not give Panthers an opportunity to settle, not give Panthers any can, just not let them settle, you know, play big, hard, physical, fast hockey like we've been doing all year, and I expected to absolutely run away with it, and couldn't have been more wrong. It was not like we just didn't turn up. Same lack of defensive errors. There were so many players that looked laxy-daisy and didn't want to necessarily be there, like skating lazy off the puck, not battling hard enough, and it was just a really, really poor performance. Like, you go from Coventry where you were close to winning and it was a couple of defensive errors and referee decisions didn't help us, but Sunday night, it was just, I don't know what was wrong with us. I don't know if we were tired, the schedule got to us, but it just wasn't a Cardiff Devils team that I am used to seeing this year. Like, it was just so many players just did look uninterested. We usually put absolute every effort into every shift. It was just so unusual to see and damn frustrating. And the scoreline flattered us so much as well. It wasn't even as if Panthers played well in the slightest. We were just so poor. It could have been a lot worse. Well, it was a lot worse. I think if the scoreline was a little bit better, I wouldn't have been as frustrated. Like, but, grr. That's what I'd say.
I think that sums it up brilliant. And you to say the scoreline flatters us at 3-2. The shots on goal, I think, are it's not usually an easy way to reflect a game, but we were outshot 46 shots to 20 in that game. Panthers didn't have under 15 shots in a period, and we managed 4 shots in the second period. And you know, first period was 1-1. Stephen Dixon with a power play goal right at the end of the first, well, with a minute and a half left, which you know, gave us hope that we'd gone into Nottingham. We hadn't played brilliantly, hadn't played that well at all, we come out the first drawing and you think if we can turn it around brilliant, but a minute and a half into the second, Panthers go 2-1 up. I think that was that the goal at our end of the ice?
No, the second period goal that they got straight back into it is down the other end.
No, the second period was their first one, yes. Oh, Tyler Biggs scored that one, yeah. And a shot that I think Ben Bounds potentially would want back. It was a hell of a wrister from the circle. But yet again, a player in acres of space in front of Ben Bounds. And then Ben Bounds did go on to make a hell of a lot of amazing saves in that period, really did stop Panthers running away from it. And that period was 16 shots to 4. And then in the third, Josh Batch, I guess, is tied up in the game just 3 minutes into the third. And, the unthinkable is possible. Getting a point out of the game would have been amazing even from there.
Robin.
And the Devils managed to wait a whole 15 seconds before giving up the goal. And I can't remember a single goal making me as instantly frustrated, angry, and just so wound up as that one. Just so lax to let Panthers pretty much just win the puck off the face-off and skate into the zone, Sean. And you've gone through there, but the whole game.
Exactly the same as it did the midweek game, Paul, for the start of the third period when we were ahead. They win the draw, go up the other end of the ice. We make absolutely zero effort to win the puck, and they go and score. Give Nottingham credit. Nottingham are a good side, especially on their home ice. If you don't go to Nottingham and compete, you are not going to win a game. It's a very, very hard place to win. And we just didn't turn up. There was absolutely no battle in us. We didn't bring any quality, and if we were going to bring quality and get puck luck, then we need to bring some effort to win. We just didn't bring any of it. Effort, puck luck, quality. We just lacked in every single area other than goaltending. But for Ben Bounds, that would have been a cricket score. And it probably, like you said, when we thought we were going to get a point from it, it would have been absolute robbery for us to take anything from the NIC because we were that poor. It's incredibly frustrating to know that a team is, as offensively gifted as ours, failed to string more than two passes together. Apart from the one power play goal that Dixon scored, which was a good goal. And I thought at that stage that, like you said, we've managed to go into the break after playing pretty poorly, tied, and we can, we can build on that and start off fresh like it's a 0-0 game. And we just couldn't do anything. We were turning the puck over in our own zone. Nottingham play us perfectly. They put two men on the forecheck on the puck, and we do not know how to play against a team like that when we're not given the space that we're used to. We have a very, very one-dimensional game in terms of that, and we struggle to adapt and have a plan B when that's happened. And I think that's one of the biggest issues we have is we weren't allowed to play our game. When teams stop us playing our game, we don't have other ideas. And that's something which we need to work on, definitely.
That's twice in Nottingham this season.
Yeah.
That high forecheck on us is, you've seemingly just left us completely out of ideas.
It's the same as what Coventry done the night before as well.
Hmm?
Same as what Coventry done to us the night before.
Yeah.
That's a worrying sign. Obviously it's something that I'm hoping that your Lord's picked up on, he's working on. It'd be really nice if we had a full week of training to work on it, though. But obviously, Fife on Wednesday in Cardiff is going to, he'll come around really quick. So it's going to be, important for the Devils to deal with that. I've just had a very quick look at Ben Bounds' stats because I was interested to see this season if he's come close to having as many shots as 46 on him. And the next highest was 35, which was also in Nottingham. In the loss in September. So, they were the plus 30s, but 46 shots in a game is absolutely unreal for any goalie to face. I don't think there's probably any teams in the league this year that have faced that many shots. So,
In terms of the quality of shots as well, Paul, I think from you say we had 20 shots, and I think that flatters us. And if that's the case, then we didn't have 20 good shots, if you know what I mean, from in the house. where most of your goals are scored from, and that's just so telling. If you had a CHL shot map, I'd imagine we would have, but we'd be lucky to have half. We'd be lucky to have half in that. You know, a lot of them would be, you know, from the point on the power play, and we're not good enough.
Just trying to squeeze them in, yeah. And you know, the other game we went to Nottingham. You know, Nottingham outshot us, and you had the 35 shots, but a lot of those shots were bad angle shots. But you know, we gave up an extra 11 shots, and you know, much better real estate for Nottingham to have it from on Sunday. I feel like we might have talked about it enough. That was quite post-mortem. I did mention the fourth line in the Coventry game. Interesting, quite early on against Nottingham, Sean, we continued to play a fourth line, but Craig Moore seemed to not get any ice time, and we were rolling an import with it. So, you know, for you, is that you're a bit of a surprise to see him, you're not getting that ice time?
I think there were a couple of poor decisions on Sunday that led to Craig Moore being benched. I think one of Nottingham's goal came against our fourth line after a pretty long shift when we iced the puck pretty unnecessarily. And, you know, you have to think that, you know, Moore needs to sort of step his game up a little bit in terms of, you know, making errors like that. So it's difficult to say, especially when our schedule is as bad as or as tough, and I'm not making excuses. Everyone has a tough schedule at tough points. But when it's this tough at this stage, we need to really utilize our four lines as best we can. And, you know, we didn't have Tom Rutkus, who's played very, very well for us. And, you know, if Craig Moore isn't cutting it, then, you know, Tom Rutkus should be playing in that game. You know, we should be, that's one way we should be looking at it, is if he's not good enough to play on the fourth line, then should he be in the lineup? And, you know, it sucks to say, but in that game, Morsey was pretty poor, and we need to find a way to keep that fourth line on the ice and keep our top guys fresh for when we need them. Because going into that last couple of minutes in the third, we needed our big guns and them to be fresh, and we just didn't have that going into the last sort of stages of the third.
Yeah, you mentioned the tough schedule with the Challenge Cup announcement this week, or today even. Starting with last week when we went to Brayhead on the Wednesday, from that week and then 10 weeks onward, of those 10 weeks, 8 of them see the Devils play 3 games a week. So there's not a lot of your respite coming between now and the new year. And, you know, Aaron Fuhr, that fourth line, it's vitally, even if we're running an import short, do you think?
It needs to be played a lot more than what it is. Like, if you take, like, Saturday's game, for instance, if we run that fourth line up until 10 minutes into the third period, you got players who aren't blowing, who aren't tired, who will have the extra energy, maybe to go win you that game, and it'll help the players on the next night as well. Like, they're not too, like, in 5 years of watching Joey Martin, the first time I've ever seen him, I know he's older, but the first time I've ever seen him blow in was on Saturday night. I've never, like, that guy, he plays penalty kill, he plays power play, and he played a lot more minutes than, well, maybe not a lot more minutes, but, like, he's one of the fittest guys on our team. He can do it all. And the first time in 5 years that I've ever seen him blow in was on Saturday night. That tells you something. That tells you, one, that he's overplayed and maybe a little bit tired, even though he did have a rest the week before. And two, that fourth line needs to be played to give players like Joey Martin a rest and become effective when you do want them to have that extra gear towards the end of the game. You've got players like Charlie Lingley, who's now on the second line and busting a gut. You've got, like, well, Lane Elmer doesn't bust a gut exactly, but that, you know, you've got two of the oldest players on your team, and you're double shifting them to try and get a goal in the second period when there's no panic. You've got another, well, like 15 minutes of hockey to play, half hour to play. Like, it's just take your time. Like, there's no need to rush into decisions like that. And yeah, Craig Moore isn't the best player, and he does lack that sense of direction and position sometimes, but he played defence for Dundee. Sometimes he is good enough to cover his tracks and win that puck battle back. And you've got Sam Duggan now, who is absolute quality. And you've got Matthew Myers, who's he could be on the ice on his own and still win the puck against five players. Like, do you know what I mean? You've got to have faith in our fourth line to play and do a job, because they can do a job. I think Belfast run a fourth line, Nottingham run a fourth line, Sheffield are running a fourth line. Most teams in this league run a fourth line, and I guarantee you, against Belfast on Sunday, if we don't run that fourth line enough, we are going to get pumped at the end of the game, because they are going to have the energy, because they've got confidence in that fourth line to play, whereas we haven't. And we need that.
I think that's very well said. Let's have a player of the week. Probably a slightly smaller pool to pick from than usual. Sean, who gets your vote?
Steve Dixon.
Aaron?
D-X-O-N. D-X-O-N. Yeah, Dixon for me too. He was the only player that put 100% effort in both nights, and he did score a goal, so.
He also scored the game winner in Braehead, if we're talking about a whole heap that we didn't see. Steve Dixon for me, I think, against Nottingham, the only line that looked like scoring was the Dixon, Heddon and Longley line. And I thought that on that line, Dixon was by far and away the standout.
Sorry,
Anne? I didn't catch it.
Only half that line was running at full capacity as well.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think there was definitely, I think Mike Heddon had a bit of an off night on Sunday. Then Dixon was head and shoulders, but Dixon was, on the line that looked most like scoring, probably on both nights, and was also one of the few players bringing the energy as well. So he did as much as he could to strap the team on his back and carry us, but didn't get there. But an excellent performance, and I am really enjoying watching Steve Dixon play for us. Proper Cardiff Devil, if we want to use the phrase that's overused. I know Big Sean Shedder.
Really cool.
We have discussed him slightly, but just to circle back a little bit to have a little bit more of a focus on it. Sam Duggan announced as a Cardiff Devil and has now played four games with us. We've lost only three of those games have been competitive, and we've lost two of them. So, is it a Sam Duggan issue? No, obviously. I fell in there probably about a week or so before we announced him. Sean, I think you told me you'd heard a rumour he was off to Guildford, and I was saying how I was a bit gutted by that, because he seems like a really good prospect, and you haven't watched him for GB against Belfast. In the Worlds, not this year, last year, I thought you looked very good. And then we get the signing, and a real sort of statement of intent for the future, do you think, Sean, to sign a guy at his age with his pedigree?
Yeah, I think so. He's, he only turned 20 this year. Come this, next summer, you'll have another year a couple of years of under 23 action in him if that rule sticks around. It's a very, very big signing for us. I think that you look at the market where it is and what, if we look at what we're going to need going forward through the year, you always want to have a wider range available to you. And I think by signing a British forward now, that gives us the option to go out and grab any import. We're not restricted by, what we can go out and get there. I'd imagine he's, he's not a shoestring budget player. I'd imagine he's earning a fair wage, but, yeah, I think it's a very, very good signing for us. From what I've seen, the glimpse, he's a very, very quick player. He seems very strong on the pucks, especially. He's a GB, captain for the under-20s, under-18s, playing through his youth career. He's been a leader for the Great Britain junior teams, which is always good to see as well. And I think it's a real, like you said, it's a statement of intent for how we intend to build going forward. When you look at the over 23 Brits we have, and it's a real statement that we are looking to remain as competitive as we are going forward.
Aaron, for you, a good signing, and you think we've still got an import to come in, do you think it's potentially looking what we discussed last week with Craig Moore going out of the under 23 bracket next year and obviously needing to free up a British spot.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant signing. You know, I'm not like you guys. I don't know a ton about the guy. But I've always heard good things. You know, like you said, he captained the under 20s team and stuff like that. But for me, I think, like we was talking about it the other day, we was on about where's Craig Moore going to slot into this team next year, and if Craig Moore does decide to move on, or we decide to cut ties with him or whatever because of the under 23 rule, you know, we've got a perfect replacement in hand for him. So yeah, I was over the moon when we signed him. You know, you got like Sheffield and all the big teams signing all these big imports, and even though I just had a rant about not using our youth enough, credit to Lord and the rest of the people who get these signings done. You know, we picked up probably the best, probably British player on the market right now that you could possibly find. I know that there's some players you would pick above him, but that all the talent's there, all the prospect is there. Give him the ice time. Let's see what he can do. Like,
yeah, definitely, and you know, exciting to see him get opportunities. And you know, I do hope that you know, signing Duggan, he's not going to have come in to bench warm. I hope that's you know an indication that there's you know, a strong drive to make sure that we are giving that fourth line you know, regular ice time. And you know, you think with Justin Farina injured, Sean, there's you know, a possibility of a fourth line of Matthew Myers, Sam Duggan and Justin Farina.
Yeah, and that's a scary fourth line. So, and it's one that's capable. So, I think that if that is going to be our fourth line, we'll see it much more regularly. And you know, that's just such a high energy line. And Farina, when he does play, you look at you know a couple of shifts on his first game back, how he lifted the game when he was on the ice and the impact he had and. That's maybe something which we have lacked. We've been a very, very good team so far this year, but in games that we haven't won, it's been, you know, a lack of energy, a lack of spark, and I think he brings that, and hopefully, you know, Duggan can bring a little bit of that as well. Like I said, he's, I think he's got a lot of skill about him. I think he's going to want to prove himself and play up in, you know, up in the top nine, whether that is going to be a case, and he, you know, I think given the chance, he could produce in the top nine, but let's wait and see. Like Aaron said, give him the ice time and let's find out. Prove it. If he doesn't get a chance, he can't prove anything. So, and I don't think we would have made this signing if we weren't willing to give him a chance. So, I look forward to seeing him get given the opportunity and seeing how he reacts to it and how he can help us win more trophies and championships going forward.
Indeed. And speaking of trophies and championships, lovely segue. The Challenge Cup draw took place today to zero fanfare on Facebook Live on a shaky mobile phone with no audio that you could hear. Who says the Elite League does things in an amateur way? But it was the Pick Your Own Poison Challenge Cup draw. Belfast in the top seed did go off script a little bit and chose the seventh seeds in Dundee. Leaving Devils the options of Brayhead. They're going to be Brayhead forever. Brayhead, Manchester or Sheffield. And as everyone will know now, the Devils chose to play Brayhead. So the fixtures announced for Wednesday the 28th and our league game against them on Friday the 14th of December has become a Challenge Cup game with a league game to be rearranged. I think, you know, I'll very quickly give my opinion. I think the Devils have probably made the right choice in my mind. Manchester is a horrible place to go and Sheffield seems to be getting their act together. And, you know, I think there's always an added incentive given to a team if you pick someone out of seedings. You know, if we'd have gone to Manchester as the sixth seed rather than Brayhead as the eighth seed, you know, are they going to think, we'll shove it back up their backsides for picking us? So you know, that's my thoughts. I'd have picked Brayhead. Aaron, you know, if you were in Andrew Lord's place and Dundee had gone, where's your vote? Or where's your pick?
I won't say in the words that I said to you, Paul, but I personally pick Sheffield. I think in this competition, we've always come out on top. You know, we've won two finals against them. Last year, we had that amazing performance where we come back from being all them goals down, you know. And it'd be nice to get them out the way early as well. Like they could get us out the way early. You know, you never know which way it's going to go. And plus, like, the travel probably isn't too bad. And, well, I say that, but it's probably the same because we fly sometimes now anyway. But I don't know, I just fancy Sheffield. Like, for me, like, I love the games against Sheffield. They always seem more competitive and more, you know, like, we seem to, it's always a good game. I love playing Sheffield, my favourite team to play against. But I can see why the team picked Braehead. But Braehead, a bit of a run as well, you know. I know we're playing quite poorly right now, but we did only beat them in a very close game on Wednesday, so that could still bite us on the bum. But I would have picked Sheffield. I feel more confident than out of any teams we could have played. I feel like if Sheffield were the team of Sheffield when they won the league 4 years ago and we won the Challenge Cup, I would have picked us to beat them in the quarter semis or final, because I think it's an occasion for the Devils. It's like, right, we're playing the Steelers, you know. They've always been us and them the last couple of years, and I just love watching in any competition. It's always fun to watch, unless you go up there midweek. You usually lose midweek.
Yeah, midweek trips are, you know, pretty much if me and Sean go on a midweek trip, it doesn't seem to end well for the Devils. I refuse. Yeah, just as I'm not blaming Sam Duggan for our form since we signed him, I'm not going to blame us for that either.
We're not going to stop. We have far too much fun on this movie, Chris.
Oh, that's it, yeah. You lot are just going to have to lump the losses for me and Sean to enjoy us. Sean, would you have plumped for Braehead as well, or would you have got taken Aaron's route and maybe looked at some shorter travel?
It's difficult to say, I think, with terms of travel, because you fly up to Glasgow to play against Braehead. You know, just sliding that one in there. It's probably a better travel than, you know, the bus to Sheffield and, you know, having to deal with, you know, bus legs and all that sort of shenanigans. And all in all, it probably doesn't take that much more out of you. And so in terms of quality, like you said, Sheffield are looking to come a little bit good. Sheffield in the semi-final last year was a very special game, and I think the Challenge Cup has lost a lot of shine for me over the years, and the quarterfinal stages are a bit sort of, you know, I don't think you waste a quarterfinal on Sheffield. You know, I think down to the last four, a semi-final place, I think it just has more build up on it. You know, you've got to go through Sheffield to make the final, and I know that sounds stupid because it doesn't really make any difference, but it just, you know, a cup semi-final against the Steelers, it's just got more about it. And yeah, just I think you're right, Paul. We gotta beat everyone if we want to win the trophy. So, you know, let's go through this one and hopefully set up a nice exciting semi final.
Yeah, and just quickly to note that it was announced. It may have been announced before, but I missed it. That seedings from the group stages will remain for the semi final. So the highest remaining seed will pay the lowest, which means the Devils definitely can't face Belfast if we both got through as the first and second seeds. And assuming that Nottingham were to win. Sorry?
I said the cup final rematch.
Yes. Possible. And yeah, assuming Nottingham win their tie against Manchester. And so if Devils and Nottingham went through, we would play each other, assuming Belfast were also through. So interesting semi-final awaits the Devils if we can get the job done against the Clan. We'll see how that all goes. We are going to get on to Greg Hewish's burning question finally. It has been weeks. Sean, it's been that long. Have you been able to dust off the Twitter archives far enough back to get it?
I did dust it off, and then my phone has restarted my Twitter app, so it has... has just disappeared, and I cannot find my bookmarks. So,
I think to paraphrase, I think Greg's question was, what is the most important goal any of us have seen the Devils score.
That's it. Not necessarily the best, but the most important.
Yeah. As I've asked the question and Sean usually asks the question, I'm going to go to you, Sean. I'm going to throw it back at you. And
you for game. Thanks for that. I am going to go with Mark Richardson's first goal in the game against Sheffield that we won our first Elite League title in. Nerves were high. They were, you know, it was a very, very nervy game, and we really set the tone to score that early, and it was a great move. And from a guy who's not normally known for his offensive output, and that just basically started the steamroll. And I think, you know, the first league title is always the hardest one, or the one you remember. And for me, you know, that's the best, that's the most important goal I've seen us score live. Yeah, it's one that I'll always remember very, very fondly, obviously for because of what followed, and we absolutely annihilated Sheffield. And yeah, there was just something about it. The quality of it, it was a good goal, you know, there was no scrappiness about it. It was well worked. And yeah, for me, that's the most important goal I've ever seen us score.
Good. Aaron, what gets your vote?
I think it's the one that started this all winning trophies thing off. All the way back when in 2015, where we were the biggest underdogs in probably the Challenge Cup history, and playing league winners after going through what we went through as a club the year before. And I can't remember who made the pass. I think it was Morissette. Morissette threw it in the middle of the thing. Lord stood there in the slot on his own, and he puts it past, can't even remember the netminder's name, but
Josh Eunice.
Eunice, that's him. It's the first goal in the Challenge Cup final 2015. You know, that game was such a tight game. It was edgy. You didn't know who was going to score first, who was anything, blah, blah, blah. I think we get a power play because was it the Tulip? No. One with the
Le Guy.
Yeah, Le Guy, that's him. It's Jeff Le Guy.
Great Dave Sims impression. I didn't expect that.
Le Guy takes a penalty. We go on the power play. Routine stuff. Loads in the slot. Finds a home, and I went bananas, to put it slightly. And it steamrolled us. Look what we've done since then. It was our first trophy, and we've been pretty much unstoppable since then, winning nearly every trophy available, not in every year, obviously, but we've been unstoppable. And what better guy to do it than the guy who's pretty much started it all, in Andrew Lodes as well. So, yeah, even though I just roasted him about his team management, I still love him.
Then, you know, you've got to go back to track. He kind of probably knows a bit more than us, doesn't he, if we're honest?
Just a tad.
It's a difficult, it's one of those weird questions you don't ever really think of. I was sorely tempted to give it to the 2006 Challenge Cup final. And I probably would have gone for the Gerard Adams goal, which tied the game up before Coventry retook the lead, and then Nathan Rempel scored with 20 seconds left to take us to overtime. But I'm going to go for the game winner in the Friday night game in Belfast on the double header in 2017 year. We won the first league, and you know, that game, it was definitely a turning point of that weekend, but I think that season had the chance of going wrong from where we were at the end of the second. You're 3-0 down after 40 minutes. There was quite a lot of sulking in the stand. You know, a lot of it was coming from sort of my general area. and you know, the Devils come back.
Sorry.
You can carry on if you want, but.
Yeah, I was just going to say I sulked that much. I went and stood on my own on the bridge.
You did go stand on your own in the bridge. I'd forgotten about that. I went and sat in a row in front that I'd been in, and then had to stay there. And I think I've sat there for every game I've gone to Belfast for since. So,
you know, in the bridge.
I'm not taking credit for it or anything, but you know, Devils then come back and, you know, we didn't take the game to overtime, win it in overtime. We won it in regulation. Four goals in 20 minutes. And that fourth goal, it crushed Belfast. We went on to take 4 points to their none in that weekend. It didn't sew the league up, but it really massively helped. It dented Belfast's chances massively. And yeah, I think the way that we performed in that first 40 minutes of that weekend, I'm not convinced that if we'd have done that for another 20, I don't think we'd have taken a point from that weekend, or we'd have really struggled to even take a point. And who knows what would have happened with that season if Belfast had had the 4 point swing on us rather than it being the other way. So yeah, I think, but I love both of those goals that you two just mentioned as well. So yeah, it was a really, really cool question. I'm glad we've had a couple of weeks to think about it rather than it being one that, you know, we got on the day of the show, because it's, you know, there's quite a lot of goals when you think about it, but there's got to be there's got to be a trophy somewhere at the end of it. And you two have probably hit that criteria better in that game led to there being a trophy, but you know, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. So thank you, Greg. Everyone else, we've had a few burning questions the last couple of weeks, and they've dried up a little bit, probably because you never know when we're going to record. But we're going to try next week. So hashtag burning question, get them sent. And hashtag Ramites, we've not had any for a little while. That we might need to push it a little better on Twitter as well. What do you love? What do you hate? Hashtag Ramite, get it sent to us. About the weekends. So we've got a game tomorrow, today for you, if you're listening to this. Quickly enough, and it's Fife, and you'll find them right up there. Still at the top. They had what seemed to have been hell of a game on Sunday in Coventry. They had three goals in the third period to take the lead. Coventry equalised with 4 seconds left, and then Fife won it shortly into overtime to take 2 points. You know, they obviously were on a hell of a hiding even the last time they came to Cardiff. Yeah, but Aaron, on the back of a 0 point weekend, is, you know, regardless of the opponent, got to be considered a must win game for the Devils.
Biggest game of the year so far. I definitely think so. You know, they could be one of our rivals towards the end of the year, so it's a game we definitely 100% need to turn up on. And if, you know, they're going to see that we're down on form, they're going to see that we haven't been there, and they're going to try and jump on a wounded animal, but hopefully, you know, we can come out on top and do what we did to them the time before. You know, we're both going to be tired teams. This is going to be, you know, as five games in as well, nearly as many days, and it's just the one that we have to win if we want to go into the weekend with any kind of confidence to beat, you know, the first time we play Belfast. If we're going to go into this weekend with any kind of confidence, it's a must, absolute must win. Especially after the 2 weeks that we've had. I know we got two wins the week before this week, but they weren't convincing wins, and well, Coventry was, but it just needs to happen. Like, if we don't win, there'll be hell to pay.
It's going to be hell to pay. Devils, you have been warned. Sean, would you go as far as saying biggest game of the year so far as well?
It's certainly one of our biggest test of characters so far. We've found it really easy to win games so far, and we haven't really faced a great deal of adversity. So off the back, where confidence is low, I think this is a test where, you know, we've had a couple of tough losses, and this is where we see, where we find, This is what separates, you know, the champs and the best teams in the league, is how they react to adversity and the bad times, because you can't get too low, you can't get too high, and, you know, I'll just throw in another couple of cliches if you really, really want some, but, yeah, we need to bring a performance more than anything. I think a result would be good. We're on home ice. But I think we need to get back to playing the way that we do. And I got to be honest, I would love for Fife to feel the wrath of our frustration of the last weekend. and just absolutely blow them away. I don't think we will. I think it'll be a lot tighter than it was the last time. I don't know whether Chase Schreiber is back from injury. They were missing him last time, and he's one of their, you know, more important players. And we obviously saw Paul Crowder. We saw Paul Crowder take a lot of ice time, along with Bloodoff. I think it was Paul.
Yeah, Bloodoff, Crowder,
Bloodoff and
was it Finucci the other one?
Bloodoff and Crowder were taking a lot of ice time, and I think Schreiber is someone who also takes a lot of ice time with them. I don't know whether he's back playing, so that would be interesting to see. If he does, then we're definitely in for a much tougher test because he's a very good player.
Schreiber didn't play in Coventry on Sunday, so
okay, so we possibly won't expect to see him midweek. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, it's going to be tough. Fife are a very, very good team. We blew them away last time. They were very, very poor. They didn't offer anything, and I think they're going to be a lot better coming around this time. And it's let's get back to winning ways and get back into good habits and find our work rate, find our feet, and show why we are, in my opinion, we are one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team. And this is the perfect time to have a game. If you think we've played two really bad games, it's time to a quick turnaround. And get back to winning ways.
Yeah, less time to dwell on it, more time to actually act on it. So
yes.
Hopefully we'll see that tomorrow or today if you're listening to it Wednesday, or yesterday if you're listening to it on Thursday. I won't carry on with this, but you get the picture. Saturday, Devils travel to Milton Keynes. We were only there a few weeks back in Challenge Cup action. Devils ran out victors. It was looking very comfortable for a while. Fell asleep defensively, start of potentially a bit of a worrying pattern that we've seen. And Milton Keynes even almost got back into it, but Devils held on. A game that, Aaron, is not the easiest place to go. Devils lost there last year in the Challenge Cup. Obviously, it gave us a bit of a scare a couple of weeks back, and Devils potentially having one eye on Belfast on Sunday. Your potential banana skin game for you there?
No, I don't think of it so much of a banana skin. I just think that this, I think it all depends on how the Fife game goes. It's all these games are must win after the weekend we've had. So I'm expecting us to turn up and destroy them, basically. You know, I'm pretty sure they're still short benched. So I'm not expecting anything less than a big fat W and get that confidence nice and high for probably one of our biggest tests of the season. I'm overlooking Milton Keynes, but I hope the Devils don't.
I think it's fair enough. And Sean, Aaron's mentioned it, Sunday, first game against Belfast of the year, and they had a bit of a shaky start. But they seem to be putting a bit of a run together on their away trip at the moment.
They do. I don't think they play another competitive. They don't play another home league game till mid December.
When we're there on the 9th.
Yeah. So they're in for a tough old stretch. I think they play Nottingham the night before, which should be quite a tough test for them, hopefully. But they look a good team, Belfast. They've got a very, very good goalie that we saw play for, I think he was with Edinburgh last year. And Beskomania, as they've called it, is well and truly taken over. Blair Riley seems to be coming.
I'm a lot older than you and a lot sadder. Beskomania isn't taking over. If it's Beskomania, it has to be running wild. That's just Beskomania is running wild. What are you going to do, brother? What are you going to do? Carry on.
Blair Riley seems to be putting a lot of goals up. I think he may be the highest goal scorer in the league at the moment. So it's going to be a very, very tough test. I'm really, really interested to see how good Belfast actually look. They've obviously added a lot with their depth. They added Lewis Hook to the mix. Jonathan Boxhill's obviously returned. So they've added a really, really good dynamic to their fourth line, along with along with the retention of Matt Toe. So they're fourth line and they look a really, really much deeper team than they were last year. So, it's going to be a very, very tough test. This is a week where 6 points would be a massively, massively good return for us against one of our title rivals, also, or potentially two of our title rivals. So, yeah, hoping for six, and I think that a reaction is what we'll see. I don't think Andrew Law will settle for anything less than a reaction on Wednesday and a couple of good results over the course of the rest of the week.
Yes, that's what. That would do very, very nicely indeed. The only thing I haven't mentioned, just very quickly, in case anyone doesn't know, I've done the Bescomania. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Google it. That's why people keep shouting ho at Sam Duggan. Brilliant. I really wanted to catch on. So there's not many of you out there, but please join in. Chant USA, ho, or USA flag. It'll be amazing. He won't understand it because he's far too young, but I love it. I won't talk about Belfast. I'm going to talk about wrestling. This is my true love.
I want to call you so many unnatural
unkind names. Unkind names.
You're lucky with life.
We're going off air in just a moment, Aaron. So just save them up so I don't have to hit the edit button. Get your burning questions sent in. Hashtag burning question. Get your Ramic suggestions into us as well. We'll try and be a bit better on Twitter over the weekend to ask for them. But get them sent anyway because we are a bit rubbish. We'll try and be back next week. I won't promise because that's not working for us either. But again, thank you all for listening. And that is your Red Army Roundup. Devon inside, the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Devil inside.